This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com. We are Montgomery's sports leader. Your town.
There's a swing and a ball lifted down the right field line. It's falling fast and it is in there. And that's your ball game. McCarthy scores from third. And Michael Russell does it again.
Your team.
On comes Ghana, who makes a basket catch. Now the throw to the plate, and they are going to have Victor Reyes for a double play. Oh, what a throw by Cade Ghana.
Your biscuits.
Swing and a chopper to short. Cronenworth has it. He flips to second, and that's your ball game. And for the first time in team history, the Biscuits will go to the playoffs for a third consecutive season. It's time to bust out the champagne.
Here comes the ready or not. Here comes the boys from the south. Here comes the ready or not.
Swing, and there it goes in a deep left field, and now there are two Biscuits who have hit three home runs in the same game.
It's time for the Biscuits Radio Show.
And welcome in, Sports Radio 740. Joe Hunk with you on a Saturday, because Monday through Friday is not good enough. We're going to have a Saturday, as we just wrapped up Cast and Blast a few moments ago, and you are now listening to the Biscuits Radio Show with the most amazing name in the world.
Yeah! Wow, it's finally here.
Can I admit that right there is probably just the hands down best thing I'm going to make fun of the whole time is the fact that that's the name of it.
I mean, we got really creative with that.
We really did. Okay, now let's go ahead and start off with that. The voices you've heard Scott Tribble Clapping, who's the general manager of the Montgomery Biscuits.
Hello.
There we go. You also have Chris Adams Wall, the voice of the Montgomery Biscuits.
Hello.
Oh, look at that. We're all rocking on this. All right. Now, here's what's great about this is now you just mentioned that we killed the name. Can y'all tell me the thought process between all of this?
Simple is better is my philosophy in life. Keep things simple and just be who you are. And
yes,
we're talking biscuits. We're on a radio. We're doing a show. It's the Biscuits Radio Show.
Can I hear the other names?
No.
Okay.
Just no.
Chris,
well,
I came
you?
Up with Biscuit Bites, and you shot that down pretty quickly.
That was,
it's an
Biscuit
hour-long
Bites
show.
Is B-Y-T-E-S. Yeah, but, you know,
it makes it
play
think
on
it's a
words
short
type thing.
We'll have a segment called Biscuit Bites. And that's
okay.
Yeah.
I really do think that he came up with that like the very day that we had
it. It was a couple minutes in.
It was like we were in the room, we were all talking, you're like, ooh, Biscuit Bites. No.
Scott just goes, no.
We went through a lot of puns and a lot of like, what about butter and blues, biscuits show, and just every time it was like, it's okay, and yeah, keep it simple, Biscuits Radio Show.
So Biscuits Radio Show. What's great about this is not only are you going to be able to listen to it right here on Sports Radio 740 every single Saturday morning at 9 a.m., we're going to be podcasting it, we're going to make the Biscuits tweet this out. I say make it like it's benefiting you guys here, hello. But you can follow all of us on Twitter. See, that's what's great about this is we're actually on Twitter. I don't know how much Chris actually uses his Twitter account. Do you ever even look at yours?
Yeah, I get on there sometimes.
Okay,
yeah.
Just double check. Just because you can follow me at Joe Hunk, you can follow Scott at Biscuits GM. Now I'm just going to do it like that every time now. Biscuits GM. And of course, Chris Adams.
3 minutes in, we already have memes and stuff.
I mean, we're already rolling, man. This is how we establish stuff so early on in the show already. And yours is this Chris Adams Wall.
It's just my name, yeah.
Yeah, Chris
except
Adams
no hyphen.
No hyphen.
Because it's on a screen and they don't like that for some reason.
they don't
do the hyphen thing.
We don't care about the hyphen at all.
No.
And of course, obviously, you can follow the Montgomery Biscuits at Biscuits Baseball, which has a ton of information, lets you know with everything from where Big Mo is going to be to concert announcements to baseball game announcements, promotions announcements. Pretty much if there's an announcement, it's going to be on that and your Facebook page, right?
Yeah, all over the place.
All over the place. So now comes the big thing of why do we have a Biscuits Radio Show? That's the most important question out of all of this is why do we have one?
Because you begged me for it. No.
I really did. No, I need to talk baseball, man. Russell doesn't give me the opportunity Monday through Friday, and yeah, I need some baseball conversation.
I would say the origins of this show probably started in the summer of 2015.
Yeah.
I was getting a lot of work done on my house, so I had contractors and construction people coming in and out, and the ultimate conversation of me working for the Biscuits always came up, and it was always, oh yeah, I used to go to the Biscuits all the time back when Evan Longoria played.
Yeah.
And this is 2015. I'm like, Evan Longoria hasn't played here in 8 years.
Yeah.
Do you know a single player who has played for the Biscuits since then? No. And that just kind of really dawned on me, because at the time, Blake Snell was in the middle of a 46-inning scoreless streak, was making national headlines, was getting voted the best minor league player in the year, and no one knew who he was.
Yeah.
And so that was at the point that I realized that what we call the pendulum had kind of swung too far. You know, when the Biscuits first got to town, we talked a lot about baseball. You know, we talked about Delman Young. We talked about B.J. Upton. We talked about Joey Gathright and the guys who started off who the Biscuits were. And then we really went into, okay, well, we can't really control the baseball. So, hey, we have Max Fireworks. We have all these great promotions and all stuff. And the baseball took kind of a backstage. It was still there, but it wasn't something that was regularly talked about on media appearances, like whenever I come on your show on the Fallout and talk Biscuits baseball. So Blake Snell was really the turning point for me, having the number one minor league player in the entire country in Montgomery for 4 months, and not a single person knew who he was.
Yeah.
And so that for me was, okay, we got to start talking about baseball again. So that was my goal from then on. Every time I've done like a Rotary speech or done a public speaking engagement or come on to a radio show, I talk about, hey, we just got these two guys named Jake just got called up, Jake Faria and Jake Bowers, or just a kid, Justin Williams, can really mash the ball. You got to come check him out. So we really try to bring that pendulum back down towards the middle where we're talking baseball, we're talking promotions and fireworks. But again, these are professional athletes. I don't want people using Evan Longoria as there I used to see.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Archer was here. Kevin Kiermaier. We've got a lot of prospects coming up in the next year that are going to be, I was here when Brendan McKay threw a 95-mile-per-hour fastball and then hit a home run the next, or whatever it may be. So there's a lot of exciting stuff, and Montgomery is such a great sports town that, yes, it's college football dominated, but there's so many sports fans here that I think the baseball can really stand to take center stage a little bit.
Chris, do you have that same thing? Because again, you know, we joked about it with you a couple of weeks ago, like, oh, you know, you're in Cuba and you're in all these other places, and you say, you know, you're wearing a polo that has Montgomery Biscuits on it. Do they sit there and say the exact same thing as, oh, is that where so and so used to play or whatever? And they have like no clue about what's going on now with the Biscuits.
I think most of the time that's the case, unfortunately. Yeah. And Blake Snell for me was a turning point as well, because I remember thinking that was my first year here. And I remember thinking, wow, this guy just won the Minor League Player of the Year award, an award that guys like Frank Thomas, Mike Trout, and Derek Jeter have won, and nobody knows who he is. So I like wearing my stuff out, and I mean, we've had some really good players, and you forgot to mention David Price and Melvin Upton Jr. and all these other guys. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how good either of those two guys are, but at one point they were pretty good. But yeah, I mean, this year we're going to have another very strong team, I think. And again, they've made the playoffs 3 straight years.
Yeah.
So they're always competitive. And I think getting some people to come out to the stadium and check out some of these new prospects that are going to make an impact at the major league level, like Scott mentioned, Jake Faria, who's going to be one of the 4 starting pitchers in the Rays rotation the first couple months of the season. So
he was with us in 2016. I mean, like,
we're
not talking about guys who played here 10 years ago. We're talking about guys who were here last year are going to be on the Rays roster.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I joked, and I know we'll talk about this a little bit more in the show, is, you know, I have things set up on my phone so that I can get updates for baseball games. And with spring training starting, I get updates from 4 different teams. I get the Braves, I get the Cubs, I get the Red Sox, and I get the Rays now. And I'm looking down on my phone during one of my breaks, and I look down and I go, Shufo just scored. And that's my first thought is, wait a second, like, this is the guy that we were talking about and joking about. Now, then, obviously, the injury happened the other day, and so now, you know, we'll talk about that from what happened on Thursday. But, I mean, it's those types of players that, you know, I don't think that people in Montgomery would even knew who he was if it wasn't the fact that we joked on, you know, and we joke about what he did in the dugouts and all, how crazy the guy is.
Yeah. Bottom line, these guys are human beings, and they're professional athletes. I mean, when I was in high school, I was in Evansville, Indiana. We had an independent baseball team, and so even then it was like, I don't really want to go watch independent baseball. Well, I'd still go because it was a fun time. I could sit with my friends. And, I mean, this is a name no one will know, but George Sherrill used to play for the Evansville Otters. He actually was one of the league leaders in saves for the Baltimore Orioles. So he was kind of the big deal. It was like, oh, George Sherrill used to play in independent ball in the Frontier League in Evansville, Indiana.
Yeah.
And, again, like, I look at, you know, the college kids around here and the high school kids who are big baseball fans, big Braves fans, hopefully big Rays fans. You know, they're getting a sneak peek at something that only 160 cities in the entire country have, and that's a minor league baseball team.
Yeah,
so being able to get, especially a double A or higher, there's only 60 of those. So being able to have this kind of talent and this kind of star power in a great town like Montgomery, Alabama, it's something special.
Well, and I hated the fact that I used to do this when I was in Huntsville with the Stars, is, you know, I wouldn't pay attention to the names, and, you know, I would feel like whenever I was going, I would say, oh, look, you know, this player's totally different. I have no clue who this lineup is. I have no clue who that is. And then maybe a year or two later, because at the time the Huntsville Stars were an Oakland A's affiliate, and you're talking about Tim Hudson, and you're talking about all these great players, you know, Miguel Tejada and all those guys that were rolling through. And I go back and I go, wait a second. I look at the back of their baseball card or whatever, because in 2000 we still did that. And I look and I go, there's HSV on there. Like, this guy played in Huntsville, and I had no clue about it.
Until they become major league stars to realize that they play in your hometown. Learn about them now.
I think the first time for me was, I want to say it was when the Huntsville Stars swapped over to being the Milwaukee Brewers affiliate, and we had Prince Fielder, Tony Gwynn Jr. It was Ricky Weeks.
Braun came through there.
Yeah, I mean, Braun was coming through there, and again, that was the first time that I said, okay, I need to learn these guys' names because I know they're going to be doing something. Then it was like a year or so later, they're getting them into the play. They're getting the Brewers into the playoffs.
Right, and don't forget about the visiting teams that come through here too. The Tennessee Smokies had Kyle Schwarber, a guy who you Cubs fans will know.
Yeah.
Miguel Sano, Byron Buxton came through with Chattanooga a couple years ago.
And a guy named Giancarlo Stanton hit a home run over our scoreboard.
So that's right.
Yes. There's those. Sorry, he was Mike at the time.
He was still Mike.
Still Mike. Because he didn't think anyone could pronounce Giancarlo.
Yeah.
He said, learn my name.
Yeah, and trust me, we've all been able to say it now. We can't spell it, but we know how to say it. This is the Biscuits Radio Show, and I'm just going to continue to emphasize that for as long as we possibly can. Yeah, we're going to have fun with this the entire time on here. This is the very first episode, and as we're going to continue to go throughout the baseball season, we're going to continue to focus on all the stuff that normally you don't get to focus on when you're going to a game. I mean, really and honestly, like, we go to a baseball game, a lot of times we're just hanging out. Like, it's just, I mean, Chris is working, but
I'm hanging out a bit too.
But, you know, it's all that. Like, I seriously feel like, and no joke, I feel like whenever I'm doing my on-field stuff, you're looking down on me like I'm an idiot. I really do. Like I just kind of get done and I look up and I'll be like, did he judge me on that?
Well, first of all, who cares what I think, right? I'm just a lowly broadcaster. It doesn't matter.
It's when you look up in the concourse with my arms folded, like, just shaking my head. God, that's when you know
When I'm having to barrel roll on the ground because somebody about to hit me with something and the jousting guys are about to get onto the baseball field by accident and I'm like, oh crap, I need to back up. But you know, that sort of stuff makes this fun. Like, we talk about the on the field stuff as far as in between innings that we joke about. We talk about fireworks, all the merchandise and all that. But I mean, literally thinking about how long this team has actually been here, because I remember when the team first got here, when I was living up in Huntsville, and I remember the name got announced. I'm like, wait, seriously? That's the name? Like, well, that's what we went with, guys. Like, really? And now this thing has blown up. I mean, how many years have you been here, Chris?
This will be my fourth year.
Your fourth year here.
So, I mean, 2004, I was in high school.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about this team until, I don't know, 2012, something like that. Yeah.
And again, only I knew because they were coming through Huntsville. They were coming through Birmingham. You've been here for, I mean, I've only been here for 2 years now. So I know I'm the youngster.
Let me tell you some stories about yesteryear.
Me and Chris combined, I don't think, match how long you've been here.
I mean, 10 years, 11 seasons. So I got here July 1st, 2008, which, oh, by the way, if you look back at the box scores, was David Price's debut.
Really?
So David Price, Scott Tribble, kind of on the same level.
Yeah.
Got to Montgomery at the same time. But no, I was an intern in Evansville for the Evansville Otters in 2004, and I remember hearing the name Montgomery Biscuits and thinking, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Because again, like, I was kind of already in that minor league standpoint, and the shift had already kind of happened. You know, the Vec family had taken over. They made minor league baseball fun, and there was a small kind of spattering of teams around the country doing special teams, and again, our old ownership also owned the Lansing Lugnuts, which is really the first kind of goofy name. And then, yeah, I mean, the Otters were actually in a promo put on by a young, unknown columnist named Darren Ravel, who actually called me on the phone. But
so you and Darren got a thing?
Oh, yeah, we got a thing. But he was doing like a top a March Madness bracket of the best minor league logos, and the Biscuits were the number one seed, and it was clearly obvious. This is like 2005.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he put one of our – we had just redesigned our Otters logo, and he put it on there, and I called him. I was like, hey, man, you used our old logo. Here's our new one. And he called me like back immediately, and was just like, hey, yeah, this is a really fun thing. We're really looking forward to it. And the setter told me about the tournament he was doing. But, yeah, the Biscuits were the number one seed, and I was like, yeah, they're going to win. And I'm pretty sure they did. Yeah.
Well, and I remember it because, again, we go back to Joe Davis Stadium, and I remember going, so let's go to a baseball game tonight. And they said, oh, well, who are they playing? And they went, oh God, they're playing the Montgomery Biscuits. Like, what a name that is. Like, seriously, what a name that is. But now you look back at it, and it really kind of has started this whole thing because it is so memorable. I mean,
yeah,
Jackson
kind
Generals
of ahead
are boring.
Of the, they were kind of, they are. Yeah, no offense.
Do I need to bring up Jackson
Generals? Generals are a wonderful organization.
I prefer their old name, though, to be honest. The West 10 Diamond Jacks.
Oh, that's
J-A-X-X.
Awesome.
Had a little guy with a bushy red mustache and a pickaxe. It looked great. Jackson Generals, though, I mean, hey, they won the championship a couple years ago, so we deserve, you know, they deserve a little bit of
You notice how he kind of, voices went?
No, but they did. The Biscuits kind of started this movement of weird, quirky names. Like, yeah. I mean, our ownership also owns the Richmond Flying Squirrels. That's another example. The Binghamton Mets changed their name to the Rumble Ponies recently. I mean, would you say that the Biscuits were kind of ahead of their time?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the thing that infuriates me is the new trend in minor league baseball are teams doing one-off nights. So they'll do a one-off night. It's like, what's a local food that you can call your team for one night?
The bacon against the tacos.
Exactly. And the cheese steaks and the pork rolls. And like, no lie, I got an email from the marketing company that said, hey, have you thought about changing your name changing your team name to a food item for one night only? And I responded, there's just a spam email that they were trying to draw my business. And I responded back, I was like, yeah, we do it 70 times a year.
Yeah. Beat that, buddy.
Yeah.
we even have a stand in there where we actually sell biscuits,
exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
So, yeah, so you have...
The Biscuits were the first team to be named after a baked good. We were the first team to have yellow as a primary color.
Can we put that up on a billboard somewhere, first team to be named after a good.
We were the first food item, but people say, oh, well, fish is a food item or whatever, but yeah, a baked good. And again, we were a lot of firsts, and we still get a lot of credit for that. And I've thrown some shade at some other teams whenever they, like the Fresno Tacos.
Yeah.
Like, they're more known for being the Fresno Tacos than their actual name, the Fresno Grizzlies.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, I prefer to be known by our actual name.
Exactly.
And yeah.
But. Yeah, and that was started, again, so many years ago, and I remember looking down from the stands and seeing the uniforms just from the Biscuits when I saw them for the first time, and I'm just going, really? And again, same thing. I mean, it starts off like crazy, but now this is so normal. I mean, like, if you have a normal name, you're actually kind of weird. I mean, really.
I agree.
I mean, except for the Chattanooga Lookouts, which is a historic name that's been here for forever.
Yeah.
Everybody, if you don't have something unique about it.
Lookouts is still unique.
Yeah.
I mean, like the Charlotte Knights or the Generals or the Bears or whatever it may be. I mean, those type of things are just, they're passe. And that's kind of the nice thing about minor league baseball and why so many teams are changing their names is because you can. If you're a collegiate institution that's been around for 100 years, you can't really change your team logo.
Oh, yeah, no, Alabama, you're stuck with Crimson Tide.
Yeah,
I mean, like it or not,
but
you're stuck with
it. Like, but, all right, well, we're no longer the Diamond Jacks. Now we're the Generals.
Yeah.
You just change it.
You do, and you get all new merchandise. And it's part of it is merchandising with that. I mean, you know, like with you guys, and I feel heartbroken that I seriously have not walked over yet to get the new hat. But, I mean, you guys
come
out.
They're going fast.
I was about to say, they are. And last year, I only had, like, one option of hat that I really wanted because of my big head. But you look at all the cool merchandise you guys come up with, and you know, I go to the gym and I have all these dry fit shirts that I bought through last season. And my wife's like, you're cutting the sleeves off of those to wear? Like, yes, don't worry. They're about to have a whole new bunch of stuff.
Give me two more weeks.
Two more weeks and you're going to have all this new stuff on it. But the merchandise part of it has helped you guys as well through the 15 years.
Yeah, here's a fun fact for you. We have sold retail merchandise to over 55 countries.
That's awesome.
Countries.
That's
not
awesome.
Counties, not... 55
if
countries.
We could get those 55 countries just to listen to this, that would be legit.
Yeah, why don't we get the flags and put them up in the stadium? That would be awesome.
But again, my Maxwell Air Force Base plays a huge part of that because you'll have guys come in, they'll buy a Biscuits hat, they wear it when they get deployed to Africa or Asia or wherever it may be, and then all of a sudden the local kid's like, I want that.
Yes.
And not only that, but I mean, unfortunately, the minor league baseball platform for retail only ships to the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
We had our own website where we would ship internationally. So we were like the only minor league team that would ship internationally. We're now on the minor league platform, but we still have a notice where, hey, if you're an international client, you want something in England or whatever it may be, call us. We'll still ship it to you. But yeah, I mean, the military's played a huge part of that. And when the Giants were in the World Series last, I mean, I remember, like, I was getting texts, hey, there's a guy wearing a Biscuits hat behind home plate. And there's just... On TV, anytime you turn on a baseball game, you're going to see some kind of Biscuits apparel. If you look closely enough in the crowd, somebody in there is wearing a Biscuits
hat. And I'll never forget when the new ownership took over and Lou DiBella, and Deontay Wilder had his very first fight after Lou had bought the team. And Lou hops in celebrating with Deontay, and he's rocking a Biscuits hat for the very first time, and that's on national television.
Yeah, I had to bring those hats up that day.
But, you drove them up there?
Yeah, that was a fun day. We went up as a staff, and Lou had me sit up front with him because he knew I was a huge boxing fan. I was a huge Deontay fan.
Oh, so you were there too?
Oh, yeah. I was
front row. Awesome.
We were all there.
You were all there?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. I feel bad now just bringing him up.
So like, I had like four or five hats in my car, and I'm just like, I text Lou, I was like, which one do you want? He said, just bring me one. I was like, oh, crap. This is like my first impression on the new owner. We'll go with this one. And he sits there, and it's hilarious. I'm watching it, and he's kind of adjusting his hat throughout the game. And I look up at the Jumbotron, and I realize we're on TV, and the rope was getting in the way of the logo, and he could tell that. He knew exactly where the camera was, so he'd be able to adjust the hat just to make sure that the Biscuits logo was still on TV throughout the entire
fight. That is awesome. Yeah. So did y'all enjoy the boxing match? I mean, now I just got to ask about
that. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, because like Deontay's only fought like two other times since then. Yeah. So.
Guess what? He fights tonight.
Oh, yeah, he does.
On Showtime.
That's right.
It's going to be a great fight.
It is going to be a great fight. See, that's the thing about him is with him being local, I really don't think that people actually understand sometimes that how big a deal it is. I mean, he was on ESPN. Like he was
an American undefeated heavyweight champion of the world. I mean, that's as big as that's what people have been waiting for 15 years with the Klitschko brothers. Like, okay, when's an American heavyweight going to come back? Because boxing lives and dies by the heavyweight. And now we've got a superstar from Tuscaloosa that's just 39 fights, 38 knockouts.
Now, what can we do now to get him in that cutoff shirt that he wears out to the ring? Can we get that into a Biscuits logo?
I mean, just get his mask
and just have it the big biscuit and all that sort of stuff. See, so, I mean, that's just the cool thing about just when this team has started and all that sort of stuff. Talked about the how the team got started, all, you know, the growth of the name as well. But, you know, at the same time, this is March, and that means that later on this month, which is crazy to actually say, opening day actually starts. They're not waiting till April now. Like, they're actually starting this thing early. So you have Biscuits players, you have Rays players, you have Durham Bulls players all down right now doing spring training.
Yeah, there are a number of them. In fact, one of them just got hurt the other day. Our guy Nick Schufo, who we were talking about earlier, apparently on, what was it, a backswing?
Yeah, follow-through.
A follow-through.
Took one off the helmet.
Took one off the helmet. And initially, I listened to an interview with Nick earlier this morning, and he first thought that he was sweating really profusely.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he looked down at his arm or his hand, and there was just blood everywhere. So I guess Nick needed about 7 staples in his head.
Nice!
To patch up this wound. But he's down there, obviously. Justin Williams is down there. Some of the older Biscuits from 2016, Willie Adames and Jake Bowers, who actually have a pretty good shot at making this year's team. Those guys are all on the 40-man roster.
Joe McCarthy was in the starting lineup yesterday.
That's right. Yep, that's right. Ian Jabeau is down there, who was the Biscuits' closer last year. Grant Kay is down there as well. So it's pretty exciting. And we know about all the trades that the Rays have made. They lost their team MVP, Steven Souza. They lost Jake Odorizzi. They lost Corey Dickerson. So I don't really know who's left, but I think that's good news for the
Rays.
Do you
notice he didn't even mention the face of the franchise?
No.
Excuse me. Yeah, Evan Longoria. That was because it was so long ago. That just speaks to how our current news cycle works, right? Like, I just completely forgot about that.
That happened like a week ago.
Yeah, right.
Well, and that's the thing about all these trades is we're talking about all these players, and because of all these trades, these guys actually have a better shot to actually make the team now because, unfortunately, the Rays are trying to, you know, rebuild.
But you ask them what they're trying to do, and they say that this is not a tanking job.
No.
They're not in the middle of a rebuild, which, I mean, what else are you going to say?
Yeah.
But some people look on, a lot of the articles I've been reading have said this is an above-average team without the prospects, but then you sprinkle those guys in, and who knows, they might have a shot at making a playoff run. I think Fangraphs has them finishing at 80-82, but another website has them finishing 84-78 and making the playoffs. So obviously those are just projections, but who knows with the Rays? You never do know. They've had 4 straight losing seasons, unfortunately, but we know that they had that great run from 2008 to 2013 or whatever it was. So
And that run that you talk about started because of what they're doing right now. And again, they're not cutting payroll.
Like,
If you're not following Mark Topkin from the Tampa Bay Times, he's one of the best beat writers in all of baseball. But when he pointed out that the starting opening day salary right now is scheduled to be $73 million. Last year on opening day it was $70 million. So they're actually higher than they were last year.
Right. How is that possible?
Kevin Kiermaier, for one.
Kiermaier.
Right? but then their bullpen. They've got a lot of veterans in the bullpen that they're paying, you know, $6, $7 million, where last year they were using the rookies like Ryan Garten and Chi-Wei Hu. but, again, like it's not a tank job. They're not the Miami Marlins. They're not just dumping money to dump money. There's a purpose behind all this stuff. That they could trade Evan Longoria because they were getting Christian Arroyo in return, who's one of the top 50 prospects in all of baseball. They can trade Jake Odorizzi, and they can get rid of some of these starters, let Alex Cobb go, because they have Jake Faria and Blake Snell ready to take the reins. So as a Rays fan, yeah, it's frustrating when a team doesn't show that diehard, let's go get it, let's win this year mentality. But the Rays are the smallest market in minor league or in Major League Baseball. And so with this, for me as a minor league fan, it's exciting because that means Jake Bowers and Willy Adames and Jake Faria and these guys that were on the Biscuits 2 years ago are going to get major shots this year.
Well, and I look at the way the Rays franchise is going. I mean, you know, because we're in Alabama, now we follow a lot of the Rays news because of we want to know where these players are going to be going. But, I mean, you're talking about guys that are going to be playing. I mean, heck, they're not even brought up to the Rays, or not the Rays, but to the Biscuits just yet. And by the time they get to the point where they're going to be going up to Tampa, they're going to have a brand new stadium to be playing in. I mean, you're looking
at the hope.
See, that's the hope, is that you're talking about this team that is moving away from a stadium that I honestly didn't know how old it was until all the articles started coming out about Tampa Bay and how they're trying to move it from St. Pete and get it into Ybor City. Yeah. And I mean, that could be a really, really cool venue.
The stadium itself isn't a bad – the Trop isn't a bad stadium. It's just the low. I've been to Oakland, okay?
Oakland's bad. Yeah, Oakland's bad.
But it's the location more than anything.
Yeah.
St. Pete, you got to get across the bay. There's just no real easy access to it. Ybor City is just – beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, that if I could build a stadium anywhere, I would want it to be there. You got all these great bars. You got this nightlife. You got cigar shops. It's like a nice little Latin kind of mini Cuba almost.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think it once they get the stadium built and moved, it's going to be huge.
It's very similar.
And they just got the new TV deal as well.
I mean, it's just very similar to what the Marlins are doing. I mean, when where Marlins Park is. Well, say what? No, not as far as
the Rays are trying to make money to win.
But where the stadium is located is like in a neighborhood. Yeah. I mean, seriously, and that's where it was when I went to Marlins Park for the very first time. I'm rolling in and I parked at a Wendy's, but when I'm walking to it, because it was a Wendy's right beside the stadium.
When you go to Wrigley Field, where do you park?
I don't park. I take the subway.
Okay, we'll see the McDonald's.
Yeah, the McDonald's park. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a big deal now that the Taco Bell got shut down at Wrigley because they're building something else.
Got shut down in this city too.
Yeah.
Burned down, excuse me.
But at the same time is you have this place that's in this neighborhood feel, and it's got that feel now. Again, like the new Braves Stadium is different because they wanted to get out of the city. But when you talk about the Marlins, the Cubs, you talk about, you know, is it Ybor or Ybor City? I've called it Ybor City my whole life.
That's Ybor, isn't it?
I had no idea.
I don't know.
Well, I need to figure that out at some point in time. Again, I had family that used to live there.
Tell you what, once they move there, then we'll figure
we'll
it out.
We'll wait.
It's called Ybor.
Yeah. It's Y-B-O-R. I mean, whatever you
Y-B-O-R.
Want.
Y-B-O-R. Why? Tell us.
Please. But it's a crazy place that you can go to. If you go to the Trop, man, I mean, there's nothing to do. You're going to a baseball game. That's it.
And I don't want to state the obvious, but when the Rays did their total rebrand, when they went from primarily a manta ray to a burst of sunshine,
yes,
isn't a little ironic that the team plays indoors? They're the only team that plays indoors. And they're talking about the sun. I mean, their logo literally is a glint of sunshine.
And it's in the outfield.
Play outside. Yeah, exactly. Go play outside. Move up to Tampa. The Lightning do so well down there, too. Downtown Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great place because you have the aquarium is down there. You have the place where, again, if you're doing a cruise, the cruise lines pull in right there. So it's really kind of a great area to be in that you can build. And you do have, like you were talking about, the nightlife's already built in. The restaurants are already built in. And you have things to do, but these players that are going to be playing here can build into that. And what's crazy is we're talking about new stadiums and all that, and you guys have this amazing stadium where so many awesome things have happened in it. I mean, look, I had no clue that was a stadium when I first pulled up.
No one does.
No, but look through history, and you look at this venue that it doesn't look a baseball stadium, and think about all the things that have happened at this for this team in that stadium.
You're talking about Riverwalk Stadium, first of all.
Oh, yeah, that stadium. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Not, I mean, but not not the Trop.
Yeah, not the Trop.
There's, a couple of great things have happened at the
there's
Trop.
There's been a one home run at the Trop.
But that one home run was pretty awesome.
It was awesome.
Game 163.
They named an area after it, as a matter of fact. But yes, the Riverwalk Stadium is what I'm talking about. I mean, you've been here for 4 years, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you said. Mm-hmm. The best thing that has happened while you've been when you've been doing the calls, what was that?
Yeah, that's a great question. The thing that springs immediately to mind would be 2016 when the Biscuits were playing the Tennessee Smokies, and there was a throwing error, and the Biscuits scored, and they walked off to clinch a spot in the postseason. That was really exciting because that was the second straight year that they were going to the playoffs. Some other things, I mean, there was this guy named Joey Rickard who now plays for the Baltimore Orioles.
Right.
He had a night against the Biloxi Shuckers where he walked for a Southern League record 6 times. He went 0-for-0 with 6 walks.
Good God.
And did not swing the bat once.
That's my favorite
game.
Stat ever. Yeah. He had 6 plate appearances and didn't swing the bat
and had a
1,000 on-base percentage.
It was incredible. I've seen a couple of 3 home run games. Tyler Goodell, who played with the Phillies in 2016, he did that in 2015. And last year, Justin Williams, a guy who's probably going to be making his mark in the majors pretty soon, he did that last year. So those are the ones that come up. Jake DePue's walk-off double in the postseason against Jackson was really exciting. Of course, they lost the last game, but that was really awesome. So there have been a lot, and I know Scott has seen a number of them too, including a no hitter.
So let's joke about this. Let's go to the man that's been here the longest. Yes.
Tell us about the Biscuits.
I feel so old. Without question, my favorite stat line ever is Joey Rickard. That was just such a fun. And I remember listening to Chris's call. I went up there for his 5th at bat, and I was standing behind Chris as he called. And he goes, "And there's ball 3. And it was like, we were up by like 10 or 11, and Chris is just getting excited over a guy walking.
It was just amazing.
It was so amazing. But yeah, the Victor Mateo no-hitter for me is probably the biggest thing. It's the only no-hitter I've ever seen live in person at any level of baseball. It was extra special that night because it was Auburn-Alabama night, so it was the last Saturday of the year. It was a huge crowd. Again, like that's always your biggest fear is you have like this amazing game where it's like a no-hitter perfect game on a Monday night when 1,500 people are there. So we had like 6,500 people in the crowd. I had a colonel buddy of mine from the Air Force was in the owner's suite, and I was entertaining him, and his dad was in town from Omaha. And their big thing was always they would go to the College World Series, and they would, you know, they were big Nebraska fans, and they loved baseball. And it was both of their first ever no-hitter games. I got to see
a
father-son combination just get ecstatic over a team that they had no loyalty to just because they got to see Victor Mateo throw no-hitters.
That's awesome.
And I'm almost positive Mateo walked the first batter of the game and then retired 27 in a row, right?
Yeah. And for the record, that was also the day I got to prove definitively that jinxes do not exist because the entire game was like, "Hey, guys, did you see Mateo has a no-hitter going? It's the 5th inning. I'm walking into the suites like, "Hey, guys, just FYI, we got a no-hitter going, so be sure to pay attention." Like, I told every person in the crowd. Like, I called news organizations, and you see, like, WSFA reporters sprinting in at the 9th inning to try to get B-roll and stuff. Chris, if you ever talk about a no-hitter on the air, it's perfectly fine.
I did a combined one first year, yeah.
My wife would kill both of you because we went up to Wrigley 1 year, and Jeff Samardzija was on the mound, and he had a no-hitter going into the 6th inning. And I literally, my wife, we're hanging out, we're talking to everybody, and I just go, "Hey, just look at the scoreboard." Like, that's all I said. That is literally all I said. And she punched me in the shoulder. She goes, "Don't talk about it." She's like, "I didn't know, but don't talk about it."
Honey, Jeff can't hear me.
I'm about to say, like, he does it. I mean, it's okay. He's dealt with this kind of thing. Like, he's dealt with noise before. It's fine. And it sucks because, again, you've been here for 4 years. You've been here for, like, 25.
Ten.
And I literally, last season was my only season that I have to talk about a memory at Riverwalk Stadium. And it sucks because the Justin Williams one, the only reason why I hate that memory is because I left before the 3rd home run.
I thought you were going to say because it was raining and made you come to work.
No. Again, that was a long night. And because it was raining, we cut a lot of stuff off on the field. So my job was done like in the 5th inning. So I saw Justin's 2nd home run and I sat there and I looked at the clock and I really think it was like 11 o'clock or something. And I had to get up at the next morning at 4 a.m. And my wife goes, "You coming home?" And I went, "Fine." fine, I'll come home. And literally, I'm listening to you as I'm driving, and it hits, and I'm like, I call her. Like, she was asleep. I'm like, you don't know what I just missed. She's like, Joe, it's minor league baseball. I don't care.
It's only the second time it ever happened.
Yes. Two of them Rapo, too.
Yes. Right. I mean, it's amazing. And like the whole time, I'm like, I can't believe I missed that. The Biscuits Radio Show. I'm going to say it like that all the time. Anyways.
Make a jingle.
I really do. Like, again, we've got all this imaging that we're going to start making for this show, and at the same time, I'm going to throw a jingle in there for that for Biscuits Radio Show. In a much better
voice
than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel bad because I actually shorted Chris as a memory because he like looked at me like, dude, you didn't let me tell you my actual favorite one the entire time.
No, you're the veteran, man. Yeah, so
I'm just rolling, man. Thing, I mean, yeah. Seriously.
Well, my first year, I think it was the second month that I was the number one guy, and we were playing Birmingham, and we were being no hit, but we still managed to scratch across a couple of runs. But then I think we were up 2-1 in the seventh, the eighth, or something, and then all of a sudden, Birmingham tied it. So I'm thinking, well, this stinks. Like, we're not going to score another run without a hit. But then Grandon Getzman, who's one of the fastest guys that we've had come through here in quite a while, walked, I think, and then he stole second, and then there was an errant throw past the second baseman. So he went to third, and then the center fielder bobbled it or something. He came home. So we took the lead 3-2 without having a hit. So I'm trying to think, well, how am I going to call this? Because, do I call it as, wow, Birmingham has no-hit the Biscuits, but the Biscuits won. But then Johnny Field got up in the eighth inning, and he singled, and I remember Scott and I were really disappointed. We were talking about how incredible it was.
The entire team was disappointed. Yeah. Like, they were
even crazy. Brady was disappointed.
Like, no, don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, the entire dugout was like, oh, come on, you showboat. What are you doing? They were giving all kinds of crap in the dugout and in the clubhouse after the game, but...
That's awesome.
It was fun to almost win a game while being no hit.
Right.
That is awesome.
But of course,
awesome.
In typical RC Lichtenstein fashion, after the game, I was like, you ever seen anything like that? He goes, it's happened to me twice.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, RC's already seen it in baseball.
Like, wait to really cool all of our good feelings that we had about this. Like, right. We thought we'd seen something that never has never happened in the game ever before
Victor
in
McHale's
history.
No hitter. Yeah, it's my seventh one. Great. Congrats.
So you don't even get excited for this? Like, you don't even enjoy it? Like, what is your deal?
We love you, RC.
I love you, RC.
He would just say, yeah, he did okay.
Yeah,
he did okay.
No, he did all right. He looked at me every once in a while. So how do you think he pitched? He's doing good. He's doing good. I mean, you're the guy that knows what you know. You'd probably be up in the majors at some point in time. I'm just a guy that's a radio host right now talking to you about a pitcher. I mean, hey, why not? And all that. But this has been it. We've an hour has flown by. I mean, like literally, it's that easy. There you go.
Yeah. So much more coming for everyone.
I know,
every
right?
Saturday morning.
Every Saturday morning, right here on the Biscuits Radio Show.
It's better that actually reminds me. One of the names I thought of was This Week in Baseball, but apparently that was taken. So.
That one's No, you've never heard of that one? I'll tell you about it. It's been used a few once, twice. It's got a name.
Yeah, it's been around.
It's it. But
This
but,
Week in Biscuits Baseball.
Oh, wow.
That's new.
Winner.
That's it.
That's it. Winner,
we're going to change the show
change
now.
The
get the imaging changed. I'll get the logo on everything changed. That's it one bit. So make sure that you hop back on Saturday morning, next Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., right after Cast and Blast, and you'll have another Biscuits Radio Show for you. We'll talk about whatever you can tweet in at Biscuits Baseball. If you've got questions for us, any question whatsoever, we'll be answering those as well next week, right here on Sports Radio 740.